You are listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
Astuto, my friends, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Pure Opelka podcast. Boy, oh boy, have we got a storm here in the Northeast, so I'm going to try and get through it quickly before the power gets knocked out. The wind is blowing like crazy. We had rain all morning, and now we're about to get snow. Snow! It's insane. Let's get ready to spend some time with a friend of ours. Shannon Joy is a radio host I respect. She's on the radio in Syracuse and a bunch of small markets up in upstate New York. She's an independent person who speaks the truth about liberty and the Constitution and what the government is trying to do in getting control of your kids and your guns and your everything. So I'm lucky to have Shannon with me today, and we're going to discuss just about everything we can with the kids who are involved in this movement to get guns out of schools. And ultimately, we know what it's about. It's about getting all the guns away from all of us, the legal gun owners. Yeah, it's a gun grab. Welcome to the program, my friend Shannon Joy. How are you?
We are on a snow day. All right, so I'm working from home, and if you hear children screaming, if you hear my devastatingly handsome husband come in yelling at the kids or neighbor kids coming through, I apologize, but that's just what's going on right now.
Deal with it is what you're saying. Deal with it, people. Deal. In the intro to the show, I mentioned the concern over the kids who are becoming the face of the anti-gun movement. I want to know how these kids got so organized so quickly. I immediately thought it was Michael Bloomberg, the former New York City mayor, the big progressive billionaire who doesn't like guns for anybody but himself. And he's funding the Everytown USA movement. But it's not just Bloomberg. This movement goes deeper into a lot of different corners, doesn't it?
It does, Mike. You know, I got into education about 5 years ago. I was one of millions of mama warriors across the country who were outraged by the takeover of every public school during the Obama administration through Common Core. And so I've been studying and researching and observing what is happening in public schools across the country, collaborating with think tanks and organizations and moms and grandparents, sharing stories about what is happening in their schools, what's happening in our schools. And what dawned on me a few years ago is really, it's kind of the same thing in every community. There is a large organization of educrats and bureaucrats and corporate leaders with enormous amounts of money, and they are infiltrating our schools and taking the power away from parents and administrators and superintendents through laws from the state level, the federal level, and also through soft coercion. And this is using grant monies in these cash-strapped schools, grant money, all sorts of grants and subsidies in exchange for the compliance from the school. And so this has been something we've been watching for quite some time. It requires local organization. It's going to require parents at the local level standing up and fighting back. But this Parkland shooting kind of took it into a whole new direction. And what we saw essentially was a massive organization with millions upon millions of dollars invested within 24 hours of this shooting in an organizational effort to politicize our children in our public schools, to use them as a political bludgeon to further a political agenda. And the agenda is gun control. It's coming in multiple ways, federally through executive orders. Donald Trump famously said he's going to ban bump stocks via executive order. You have legislation now moving through the House and the Senate, or being prepared for the House and Senate, probably going to be attached to an omnibus bill that will feature gun control elements. You have states like Florida and New York rushing together, putting together what I think are probably pre-written bills that were just ready to go. Everything from increasing the age to purchase a gun, assault weapon bans, massive databases that are going to collect information, psychological information from students, from folks who are in the healthcare community, really a big brother type data system that will then be fed to the national database, which is NICS. So you see all of these different groups working together to really just clamp down on the American people and threaten their Second Amendment rights. But the most important element is this political movement. They know that we cannot go up against children. We know that it's a very difficult argument to make against kids who are scared, who are frightened, who are organized. And you don't win, right? When you debate with a kid, you're never going to win. You know that.
You're accused of bullying them if you dare call them out and say, you know, you're being too emotional. Let's talk on facts. Then they start crying and you're suddenly the big, bad, evil adult.
Yes. And they know this. And you see Republicans crumbling in front of these children. Dana Loesch, who is amazing, that CNN debate was a disaster. I mean, she's great. I love her. But she couldn't. I mean, she accepted all of their premises throughout the entire debate and was demonized and attacked regardless. Marco Rubio, you know, folded like a cheap tent. President Trump, in the face of these student organizations, which are AstroTurf, which will lead me to the next part of this, folding like a cheap tent. I mean, we are looking at, within the next month or so, Mike, a potential gun control that we wouldn't have dreamed of during the Obama administration.
I want to pause it right there for a second because you've said so many important things here that I do want to say that in the last 24 hours, despite the president's statement about take the guns first and worry about due process later, despite that statement, I do believe that there are people who are in the government who will prevent any sort of nefarious gun confiscation bill from getting through. We know Schumer wants all guns gone, and he's going to do it under the guise of assault weapons. We know virtually every Democrat except Joe Manchin wants all guns gone. And so I don't think McConnell's going to let a bill go forward. And I also think we have friends in someone like Thomas Massey of Kentucky who wants to actually lower the age to purchase a gun so that a 20-year-old single mom can defend her house. And I really think, I have hope. And I think Trump, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until we see a bill advancing. But I think what Trump was doing was art of the deal, Trump. I think he was trying to bring people in.
Well, and this is where you have to be very, very worried and very vigilant right now. You are right that Thomas Massey might be the only voice we have on Capitol Hill and in Washington, D.C., because what they're going to do, you are right about the art of the deal mechanism. We are going to be ginned up, and we're going to have an awful bill that's going to come from Schumer and Pelosi, and Trump is playing into this, and it's going to have ban this and ban that, and everyone's going to freak out. And then the Republicans on the other side are going to say, oh, we can't do this, we can't do this, it's so awful. And they're going to meet in a very disastrous middle. That's what they're going to give us. And the middle is fix NICS. The NICS system is unconstitutional. It violates the Fourth Amendment and also the Second Amendment. And what it sets up is an apparatus that compels the states to deliver data to the federal government to compile information about people's mental health, their criminal history. And if you want to understand, Thomas Massey was one of the lone voices who was screaming about how awful fix NICS is. The only fix for NICS is to abolish it. If you think, we know when governments come together and collect information and collect data, it's very clear that in Parkland that completely fell apart because of the social justice warriors, because of the larger progressive agenda to end recidivism by not reporting or not adding names to certain lists. The reason that shooter was able to obtain a gun was precisely because they refused to add his name. They refused to arrest him. So he wasn't in the criminal system. So the idea that a federal system, a bigger bureaucracy to oversee all the smaller bureaucracies, is going to somehow fix this is crazy. When in addition, it absolutely shreds our constitutional rights. And just to give your listeners, so no, we're not going to get, they're not going to come out in broad daylight and try to ban our guns, Mike. What they're going to do is they're going to build a system of information and surveillance that will result in 10 or 20 years from now, no one being able to have a gun because we won't be able to pass the mental screenings. And they're using schools to develop mental screenings, mental, evaluations, psychological evaluations. You could have a situation, and Thomas Massie explained this to Daniel Horowitz on CRTV very articulately a couple days ago, a situation where if a kid gets in a scuffle in seventh grade, he gets coded. That code goes on his permanent record. It's merged with all of the federal files, his health files. A certain kid is diagnosed with anxiety or ADHD and is prescribed a certain drug. He gets coded. When he turns 18, 19, 21, he's not going to be able to get a gun because he'll be in the system. This is happening in New York State, Mike. I don't know if you followed the story of the military veteran decorated. His guns were seized. New York State troopers came to his house and seized every gun in the house because he was diagnosed with insomnia and put on a certain medication in New York State that deemed him a risk.
And once you're deemed a risk, you are going to be banned forever from exercising your Second Amendment right.
Absolutely. And this NICS system was precisely why veterans and senior citizens were stripped of their Second Amendment rights, which has been reported nationally. They're looking to expand that same program that is destroying the Second Amendment rights of those who have served our country and our senior citizens. That's what they want.
I understand this, Shannon, and we're talking with Shannon Joy, a radio host, a friend, and someone who is a defender of freedom and liberty, and somebody I would stand shoulder to shoulder with to fight for it. Now, Shannon, you know I'm a gun owner. You know I am.
Right.
I consider myself to be a responsible, legal gun owner, and I also consider myself to be a reasonable person. How do we stop? How do we prevent crazy people or people who shouldn't have a gun, like criminals, from getting guns without the NICS system?
Well, that's obviously the million-dollar question, right? And we're parents. I have two kids in public school. I want them to be safe. That's a given. The question is, do you take broken, corrupt political systems and make them larger as a solution? That doesn't solve the problem. I am a proponent of the 10th Amendment and federalism. This is the way that our country was built. This is the way it was meant to be. And I think that if you empowered each community to address this situation on their own, free of federal manipulation and intervention, which always comes with strings and lobbies and all kinds of other types of corruption, I can assure you that individual schools, individual police departments and sheriff departments can come together and keep their kids safe. But those solutions have got to be local, and they have to be controlled by the stakeholders in those individual communities. That is the concept. That is the laboratory of democracy.
I'm with you. States' rights, 10th Amendment, 100%. I think local communities know best. I actually agree that we don't need AR-15s on the streets of Manhattan. Now, I'm cool. I'm cool with sidearms. I'm fine with licensed, trained, and normal people being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights on the streets of New York City. But New York City isn't cool with that. So guess where I don't live anymore? New York City, because we got the heck out of Dodge.
And that's the beauty of mobility, right? We don't have to have communities that are cookie cutter, standardized, all the same. Communities are different. And that's a good thing. And because we have mobility in this country and people can choose to move from community to community if they feel like they aren't safe and they can't exercise certain rights, that's where we have to get, I think, in this country. Everything doesn't have a national, broad, comprehensive solution. That's what they shove down our throats constantly. And their national, broad, comprehensive solutions never work, primarily because bad guys and criminals don't follow laws. And if you can put every law in place, you can have the biggest national surveillance and data system where each American essentially has a dossier built on them by the federal government, where we are controlled continuously. You can have a system like that, but that's not going to stop violence. If they can't get a gun, they're going to use a knife. If they can't get a knife, they're going to use a bomb. If they can't get a bomb, they'll come up with chemicals. People who are intent on harming other people are going to figure out ways to do it. And unfortunately, we live in a world that exists with evil. Things are not going to be perfect. I'm not saying that giving communities liberty and valuing liberty and setting these communities free to come up with their own solutions, I'm not saying that's a silver bullet and that we're going to have some kind of utopia, but at least we'll be free.
Why the violent rhetoric? Why must you use silver bullet when you have a discussion with me? Now, Shannon,
we gotta be a little provocative.
I know, a little. Please, you are regularly provocative, and I appreciate it. But it's to provoke thought. Shannon and I were talking about the kids who have become the face of this movement, this Never Again movement, which I can't believe our Jewish friends have not gotten upset that Never Again has been culturally appropriated, because that to me always means the Holocaust. But now we have these kids who are planning this march. But the curious thing here, and you said that millions of dollars suddenly became available to these kids in this movement overnight, 24 hours after the Valentine's Day shooting at the school in Parkland, all of a sudden there was this well-funded, well-organized, it's got a structure, it's got a plan, they've got graphics. Where did this come from? Where did all this money and organization come from?
Well, here's what your audience needs to know. There are two major groups that I've been able to identify. The first is the hashtag Enough movement. This is the movement that is in your schools. The hashtag Enough movement is organized by womensmarch.com. If you are familiar with the Women's March, it was one of the publicized leaders was Linda Sarsour, who is a rabid anti-Semite. She is a vicious woman.
She loves Islam so much, she would like to see Sharia law in this country.
And she has said as much. She stated that on her Twitter account. In addition to being a radical social justice warrior, liberal, progressive. The Women's March is funded to the tune of about $246 million from George Soros. Not only their organization, but also hundreds of affiliate organizations and local organizations scattered throughout the country. This movement has set up on their website the hashtag Enough page, and this is what is organizing millions of children across the country in their individual schools. They are providing mini grants up to $250 for students to create hashtag Enough chapters in their schools and then get petitions going to compel their administrators to allow them to march out of their schools on March 14th at 10 a.m. in the morning to protest the violence in schools and to promote gun control. So this is a clear manipulation of children. Most of these organizations, it's just a handful of kids with a couple teacher mentors, but they also have online mentors. So you could potentially have children who are engaging with strangers in Topeka, Kansas, who are organizing them to push this event. It's kind of dangerous in my opinion. But what these kids are doing, they're basically going into their schools, and you have superintendents and school boards completely folding. I mean, they're getting pressured from these groups. If they don't allow this to occur, this gun control march to occur on school grounds during school hours, then they hate children. They don't care about the safety of children. They too have blood on their hands. They support the NRA, blah, blah, blah. And so this is happening currently, and they have listed over 1,276 schools in this country have signed on officially to this march on the 14th. Many elementary schools and middle schools are also signing on officially to this march. Now, aside from the blatant political manipulation of children, this is dangerous. Anytime the idea that these schools would march children out at a specified and publicized time during the day outside of the safety of the school building on gun-free zones, to be potential sitting ducks, to any loon out there who has had a dream of shooting up a school, this is outrageous. I mean, this is inviting crazies to come in with national attention on this day and target children. It is a bad idea, and the only way that parents can combat this is individually with a few parents, a few friends in your own school districts. Again, this is AstroTurf. There aren't that many people, but it has the illusion of being absolutely enormous.
Well,
we are having a lot of success in our community in pushing back on this, Mike, in very liberal school districts.
I'm happy to hear this, but because what you generally need to realize, and I'm sure you do, is if you're in high school and somebody goes, "Hey, March 14th, we're all going to get out of school." My first thought is, all right, how do we do this and not get in trouble? And you've got the schools caving and signing on to say, all right, March 14th, we're going to have this hashtag enough national school walkout. But then we also have this other march in D.C. on the 24th of the month. And then we have the April 20th march or event that's going to happen. So is this now going to be a weekly event that these people are pushing through?
They will shove this through until we get gun control. They will continue to manipulate children and politicize children until they get their agenda. And that's why parents have to stop it in their own schools. The March 24th event, interestingly enough, Mike, is this event. So you have the Soros-supported event in your public schools. That's the March 14th walkout. You also have this national march in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, this is just a tip for you. President Trump will be speaking from the Rose Garden Live on that day. On the 24th, and I have a source from a corporation in Washington, D.C. that does lighting and sound for some of these Republican events, that the Trump administration has contracted with, and I haven't corroborated this yet, but with George Clooney and Oprah Winfrey to pay for his speech, the lighting and the sound behind his speech.
The president's
speech. Just
confirming that there is a story coming out of an equipment company saying that the president may deliver some address on the 24th, the day of the youth march.
Yes, it's the Harbinger Group is the company. And I have someone on the inside who says that this group, Harbinger, will be providing lighting and sound for the president for his speech on the 24th, and their contact person is George Clooney, that he's funding it, and that is their contact person.
Well, Clooney and his wife, Amal, gave $500,000 when the events started coming together, and it was matched by Oprah, and I'm sure matched by other people. So aside from the Soros groups funding this, you now have Hollywood funding this as well.
Right. And what we need to push back against, Mike, is any national legislation. Any national legislation, no on fixed NICs, no on any type of gun control, no on any type of comprehensive data system set up by the feds, no on presidential executive orders banning any type of gun. Can you imagine President Trump bans bump stock by executive order, the next Democrat president comes in and bans assault weapons by executive order and then just points to the precedent from this president? It's all bad. Every bit of it, we're being wrenched to a very dangerous middle, is my contention here. And we need to be organizing. The NRA, I think, is done. I think they have been pushing this fixed NICs for ages. The only organization that I trust right now is Gun Owners of America, and there are a couple other smaller Second Amendment rights that are firmly, firmly constitutional. But we need to understand that these national players are manipulating us, and they're doing it from the top, but also from the bottom up in our schools.
Shannon, what you should know, and I'm just going to lay it out here, I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. I'm one of those people who signed up forever.
Because, so am I.
It just... It happens. And I will.
I am too.
But I'll tell you, I openly say, and if you disagree with me, that's okay. We're not going to break up over it. I don't see a need for bump stocks. And I wish Congress had the cojones to actually write a law, because here's my opinion. If machine guns are illegal, and to 99.9999% of the country, they are. If machine guns are illegal, to openly endorse a device that does turn an AR-15, which I own, into a machine gun,
sure.
To me, that's wrong. And I can recognize that. Now, in terms of the fixing NICS, the NRA created this instant background check system. This was created by the NRA. So I don't understand why we can't try and improve it. It certainly was a damn sight improvement over the, what was it, a 10-day waiting period that you had to go through before we had the NICS system?
Right. But the data, I'm telling you, Mike, that if there's a bigger game they're playing, and this data and survey, that's what they want in any bill, whether it's healthcare, education, criminal justice, gun laws. What the area that you will always find the bipartisan agreement is in the data and surveillance systems, building the data and surveillance. Once they have control of all of that information and all of our information, they can do anything they want to us, anything. Okay.
Well, you're right. You're right on big data grabs.
I
get nervous about big data grabs.
Well, and here's the other thing, Mike. You know, I agree. You know, we can have reasonable discussions about bump stocks, right? First and foremost, I don't think there's a federal fix. I would say states, if they want to ban bump stocks, should write legislation and have it signed by their governors and address that at a state level. If you must have something nationally, then it should be Congress. Right? Because we are a nation of laws. We have separation of powers. There is a constitutional way to do this. If you must ban bump stocks, then the president should go to Congress and say, write a bill, a one-page bill about bump stocks, and pass it in your you know, both chambers, and I'll sign it. But that's not what he's doing. He's drafting legislation to ban them via executive order, which sets a very dangerous precedent should we have, God forbid, which we probably will, a Democrat president in a couple years or 4 years or 8 years and the Democrat-led House and Senate. They will use this as precedent to ban anything they want.
Well, you bring up
a
really good point.
This is where the breakdown is happening.
That's a great point. That's a very good point. Her name is Shannon Joy. Now, you guys understand, if you've been listening for the last 27 minutes, you understand why I talked to Shannon Joy. Because, we have good information, we actually have a conversation, and on some things we disagree, and on some things we agree so strongly that there is no daylight between us. And I think on the important things, we are in lockstep, and that's, again, why I will be at your side, at your shoulder, if you ever need a warrior to stand with you. Where do we find you, Shannon? Where's the best place to find you?
If any of your listeners want to listen to my show, you can listen for free on the Shannon Joy app. There is also a subscription available if you want to support the show. I'm totally independent. I have my own business. I buy my radio hour from the independent radio station, my flagship station that I broadcast out of. So that independence, Mike, gives me, that freedom gives me the ability to say whatever I want, which is rare these days in politics. If you want to get information on this walkout, guys, I wrote a letter to my superintendent and school board. I posted it on my Facebook page, which is Shannon Joy. You can friend me there or just follow me on Facebook. And that kind of lays out my rationale. I've been reporting on all of this. There's a lot of good information on my Facebook page. Also, my Twitter is, the handle is at Shannon Joy Radio. My heart and soul is in our liberty, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. Right, and the power that we have as individuals to change our communities. We scream and yell about what's going on at the national level, Mike, but if we want to change this, it has got to start with the individual, and it has got to start at our community level. And this political manipulation of our kids in public schools is a perfect opportunity for parents to get involved.
And the interesting thing, Shannon, I'll wrap up here, the kids are getting all the attention, but a recent survey of the parents of these kids has shown that they're not so much concerned with gun control as they are with school safety. So at the end of the day, there's actually rational thinking coming out of the parents of these kids, and we got to keep pointing to that. So safety and security of the schools is foremost on the minds of the parents, while the kids are off in the corner stomping about the NRA and guns and how evil they are. So I'm hopeful that that news came out. I hope you come back again, my friend. You are a delight, and I appreciate you giving me all this time.
Mike, thank you so much, and I will come back anytime.
Well, there you have it. That discussion with Shannon Joy should help you understand more who's really behind these kids, these emotional faces you see thrust in front of the cameras on the left-leaning media, the kids who are trying to tell us that something must be done, that we have to have all the guns off the streets now, that we have to get rid of the NRA. These kids are being directed and funded by people like Mike Bloomberg, George Soros, the Tides Foundation, and hundreds of other lefty organized groups that just don't want our freedom. They don't understand it. They truly are advocates for socialism. They think government knows better than you do. And ultimately, I think it'd backfire on them. So dig deep on this one and support the cause if you can. Get the word out. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, this isn't just about guns. It's about freedoms. It's about our republic. It's about everything that we talk about on this show all the time. All right, I got to get out of here because the storm is really getting nasty and it's actually snowing now. Let's do a little bit of history. On this day, back in the day in 1836, speaking of freedom and independence, Texas declared its independence from Mexico on this date. Also on this date, March 2nd, 1877, after an election that was too close to call, the Electoral Commission declared Rutherford B. Hayes to be the president. The first time that happened. On this date in 1904, Dr. Seuss was born. Quick, what was your favorite Dr. Seuss book? Think about it. Mine was Green Eggs and Ham. It was the first book I read cover to cover. And now this is where you throw in the joke. Oh, last week? No, but that was the first book I actually remember reading cover to cover. On this date in 1933, King Kong the movie, the first one, there have been at least three big screen versions of King Kong, but the very first one starring Fay Wray opened in New York City on this date. And also an NBA record was cemented on this day in 1962 when Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain scored an NBA record 100 points in a single game for the Philadelphia Warriors. The late Wilt Chamberlain nailing 100 points in one game. That's one of those sports records I don't think will ever be broken. But we said that about Roger Maris and 61 home runs in one season, too, didn't we? How about a word of the day? Word of the day today, I think I may have used this back in the old days on the Blaze radio, but I love this word. The word of the day today is fubbing. Fubbing, and it's fubbing with a P-H. P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. To fub someone is to ignore them because you're busy in your phone or your mobile device. You can fub someone or you can be fubbed. It is to ignore someone or their surroundings. Fubbing. Use it three times today and it's yours for the rest of your life. Now, if you're in the Northeast, batten down the hatches. If you're not, join me tonight on KNRS in Salt Lake City as I host for our friend Rod Arquette, the Rod Arquette Show, tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. East Coast time. I think that's like 4 to 7 in Mountain time. Till next time, testudo, my friends, testudo.